passage this morning and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28 this morning. In Matthew chapter 8, we're going to read verses 1 through 8 together. I'll read aloud as you read along silently during in our scripture this morning. That's Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 8. As you're finding your place this morning, if you're able, would you please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this wonderful, special day that we have to celebrate your resurrection. A risen Savior, alive and powerful. God, please use that risen Savior, his Holy Spirit, to help us today to hear what you have for us from the preaching of the Word of God today. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be better Christians for being here. And Father, if there's someone here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, their risen Savior, I pray they'd accept him before they leave this room today. Now fill our pastor with thy Holy Spirit and power. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, I'm going to ask you now that unless you use your phone for your Bible, that you just turn the thing off. Give yourself 30 minutes of being connected to nobody but God. What do you say? Good. Then we don't have to hear it beep, buzz, do whatever it is that happens. Help us there. Now sit and listen carefully for a few moments. Three words I want to leave with you on this Easter Sunday morning, and that is, he is risen. He is risen. The angel at the tomb announced to those who came to embalm the body of Christ, they said, he's not here. The angel said, he's not here, for he is risen, as he said. Now go tell his disciples what happened. And this Easter Sunday morning, I hope you understand, as I mentioned a moment ago, we don't celebrate the resurrection. We celebrate the risen Savior. Resurrection is an event. Jesus is the one who rose from the dead. And there today, this morning, dear people, we're talking about a Savior who went to the cross and died. And it's very absolute certain Jesus was dead when they took him down off the cross. He didn't pass out. He didn't swoon. He was dead. They thrust a spear into his side, and forthwith came out blood and water as it ruptured the pericardium around his heart. And his heart had literally ruptured in his suffering. Jesus was dead. They took him down off the cross, and they laid him in a tomb. And they sealed that tomb and put a Roman seal upon it of death to break the seal. And for 3 days and three nights, Jesus Christ lay there very much dead as anybody who has ever died before. But after 3 days and three nights, Jesus rose from the dead. When these ladies came to the tomb that morning to bring the embalming spices, the stone was already rolled away, and an angel was there to proclaim that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead to let them know. And he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And they could look in the tomb, and there was nobody there. And there's never, Jesus' body has never been found. I want to talk to you about that in a moment. He is risen. It is a glorious, wonderful truth. I was singing early this morning to myself, of course, up from the grave, he arose. I remember as a boy singing that in church, I always thought it was up from the gravy. I'm a foodie, so, you know, kind of got over there. No, up from the grave he arose. He is risen this morning. See, well, that's what people believe. I said he is risen this morning. I said, but that's what we hope to believe. I said he is risen this morning. Yeah, but that's what Christians have believed for centuries. I said he is risen this morning. Now look at me this morning. Let's lay aside all the stuff about religions and everything else. Let me just put one simple thought to your head this morning. One mind, one thought to that mind of yours. He is risen. 2,000 years later, Jesus Christ is just as much alive on that resurrection morning that day as he is today. He's still just as much alive. He is risen. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, it's a proclamation. That's what the angel was there for, to proclaim to those dear ladies who came to the tomb that resurrection morning, to let them know, come and see where the place where the Lord lay. He's not there anymore. He was crucified, but now he is risen, just like he said. And that's a proclamation we need to make today and understand something. Some people would say, well, you know, it's pretty simple, actually. They just went, his disciples or some of the people that loved him, they came and took his body and went and hid it somewhere so that they could say that Jesus was risen from the dead. Have you ever considered this? They're finding people today, their bodies, encased in ice, which they say was millions of years ago. That's not true. Don't let evolutionists make you believe you go to the zoo and throw peanuts to your relatives, okay? But let's just say thousands of years, upon thousands of years. Now they're finding their bodies there. I read it just this morning, a news reporter where they're finding bodies today in Korea for some of our dear men who gave their lives over there in Korea. And they're finding their bodies now. Some 70 years later on, they're finding bodies. They're finding bodies that they found that were laying in rice paddies out in Vietnam and prisoners of war's bodies who were buried somewhere in a hole somewhere in Vietnam. They found their bodies and they brought them back home. You know, it's interesting how they can find King Tut and they can find Oog over in an ice pack somewhere and they can find the body of a soldier who gave his life for his country in Korea 70 years later and they can find these bodies all over the world today, but for some reason they cannot find the body of Jesus Christ. See, if his disciples hid him, then I guarantee you someone would have made a shrine out of that one. I can guarantee you someone couldn't have kept quiet about it. Look at, we believe they were Baptists, so just stay with me for a moment. Baptists can't stay quiet about anything. You got to be kidding me. They wouldn't hid Jesus' body. You're not going to tell me somebody wouldn't have come up with something and told us he was somewhere down the road they'd find his body, but it's never been found. There is a reason for that. He is risen. He's not dead anymore. He is alive. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that means something. That needs to be proclaimed to all the skeptics and atheists in the world. Don't lump us with all these other religions. Don't throw us in the band of a bunch of people of just faith. By the way, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm okay with just faith. I wasn't there. I didn't see the empty tomb. I don't know what all the stuff that's recorded in the Bible. I believe it by faith. But tell me your skepticism makes you a happy camper. It gives you hope. You know, it's interesting how skeptics, they amaze me. They've got all these reasons to put us down for what we believe. And I've never seen a happy skeptic. I've never seen a joyful skeptic. Never seen a skeptic who had anything but questions but no answers for their life. Fascinating, isn't it? The best they can do is hope for this life. I got news for you. He's risen. Proclaim it. Tell all those atheists that don't believe there's a God, he's risen. Tell all these religions that got all their dead prophets and leaders and imams and everything else. Tell all those religions who got all their gods and religions and beliefs. Tell them this. We are the only ones, those who believe the word of God, are the only ones who serve a risen Savior. He is risen. Proclaim it to everybody who says that the church saves you. Everyone who tells you baptism is salvation. Everyone who tells you religion is the way to heaven. Everyone who tells you their philosophy is it. Tell them that. Tell them he is a risen Savior. Proclaim it across this world today. Please, please, please. Don't lump Jesus with Muhammad. And don't lump Jesus with Buddha. And don't lump Jesus with all these religious people. Their religions, their beliefs, their whatever. I'm not putting these people down. I'm just simply saying this. When the stone rolled away and Jesus was no longer in the tomb, and the stone wasn't rolled away to let him out, he's already gone. The stone was rolled away to let people see that there was nobody in there. Listen to me. Tell all these people Jesus stepped into a category all his own. Nobody like him. Nobody ever like him before him. Nobody ever like him since him. Since then, Jesus Christ is risen. So, Pastor Johnson, I'm just not as passionate about it as you are. Well, then I feel sorry for you this morning. You got a belief in something that's not really true. You got a belief in something you have to convince yourself that's genuine. I'll tell you what I have this morning. I have a living Savior today. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He is risen. It's a proclamation. He is risen. It's a promise. Look in Matthew 28 and verse number 6. After the statement of the angel who said, "He is risen," and then the simple next words after this, "as he said." It's amazing to know that Jesus rose from the dead. Listen, it's even more amazing to know he raised himself from the dead. Now, that's incredible if you think about it. We live in a day and an age of politics today, right? We got all these speeches. People are making all these speeches about what they're going to do for us that they never could do in the past. They're going to make all these speeches, and they're going to lay out all these promises. And if you've been around for very long, you've heard a few politicians' speeches, and you heard a ton of promises. My Oki people have an expression. It's called all storefront and no groceries. Promises. Hear me. But when Jesus rose from the dead, and not only that, when he raised himself from the dead. Well, you understand what that means. It's just like he said. He walked this earth and he said, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it again." He said that. These angels, this angel here would rebuke the disciples and say, "Didn't he tell you that after he would go to Jerusalem and be crucified, but after 3 days he would rise from the dead?" Even his own disciples who heard it with their own ears and saw the miracles Jesus performed still were not certain about it all. Remember, they're all hiding in an upper room right after the resurrection of Christ. They're all hiding in fear because their leader has been crucified. And Jesus appeared to them with the doors closed. And he said, "Fear not." And then he rebuked them for not believing what he told them. You know, it's interesting to me, ladies and gentlemen, that we fail to understand the power of "He is risen" as to the promise of Jesus Christ. He said, "Well, he raised himself from the dead." Okay. No, not okay. Then every other promise he ever made to us, it's all good now. Haven't you ever found that out in life? Someone makes a promise, they give you your word, and they break their word to you. I know it doesn't mean anything nowadays. You have to have a stack of papers that thick to get anything done. But I mean in the day and age when you could actually shake someone's hand, they said, "I would do so-and-so, and they'll do so-and-so." Remember that? And they break their promise to you. Don't you always wonder after that, I promised this time. All it takes is one broken promise, and then you're not sure, huh? True? Jesus made us a lot of promises when he walked this earth. "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your souls." He promised us rest in his yoke if we'll get together with Jesus and let him pull through life. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go there to prepare a place for you," Jesus said. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The promise of heaven and the promise of his coming. Listen to me. They're all attached to this. He rose just like he said. That angel wants to remind some people. That opened the book. You understand what that means this morning? It opens this book. All of it now becomes the promise of God. And since Jesus could keep the promise of conquering death and rising from the grave and raising himself just like he said he would, just in the, by the way, not 10 minutes late, not even one day late, right on target, Jesus rose from the dead 3 days and three nights later, even likened it to Jonah and the whale. Matthew chapter 12. Jesus said, "As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth and then rise again." Right on target, right on time, and exactly as he said. So then, my friend, when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me," do you understand what that means? That's the promise of eternal life and a promise of access to the Heavenly Father. But you have to go to him, the Father, through Jesus, or you don't go. I looked that up one time. I 2 years of Greek and a year of Hebrew in Bible college. I looked that up one time where Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father." I looked that "no man" principle up. You know what that means? You know what it really says? It says no man. That's what it says. Just like he said. He didn't stutter. No religious man. No philosophical man. No man on their own. Listen to me. No man, no how, no way. No religious man. Nobody. Nobody who does it their way. Nobody who does it any other way. No man but those who come to God through Christ go to heaven. That's a promise. That's a guarantee. And as we often remind you, people say, well, that's not fair because you're excluding all these other people. No! We're letting you know there's one way. Anyone can come to God through Christ. Anybody. That's not exclusive, it's inclusive. But you got to do it God's way, not yours. No man's getting there. I don't care how good you are, how right you are, how moral you are, how decent you are, how godly you are, how much you live your life in a certain way. No man goes to heaven but through Jesus Christ, and they must trust him as their Savior to get to the Heavenly Father. See, that promise is in there too. And if you'll just allow me this morning, I won't go through the other 5,000 promises in the Word of God. Let me just tell you this. He's just like he said, he rose from the dead. This book now is for you. He is risen. Jesus keeps his promises. He is risen also means this morning. It was a premise too. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus rose from the dead. He has conquered death. I don't understand people who feel they have to climb mountains and hang off cliffs. If you do that, God help you. No, just kidding. God bless you. That's what I was thinking of. And when they ask these mountain climbers, why do you do it? They say, because it's there. And they think, well, I could look at it, but I don't have to climb it. I mean, I got a fear of heights. I don't even like being this tall. Watching this thing about Mount Everest the other day. First guy ever climbed to the top, Sir Edmund Hillary, did it in a pair of knickers with wool socks, a hat, and a tie. Now they got masks on them like they're going to the moon to get to the top of this mountain. And I think to myself, and you get up there and you do what? You go, oh, I climbed Mount Everest. Well, that's an accomplishment. I climbed Mount Lassen. How many ever climbed Mount Lassen? You ever been to the top of Mount Lassen? Yeah. You ought to do that one time in your life. Why? Because I had to. We got 11,700 feet. Now, fortunately, you don't have to climb the whole thing. You can drive to about 7,000 foot and then climb the other four. But trust me, at that altitude, it doesn't matter. And we had a bunch of teenagers in high school and junior high kids, and we didn't have a youth director at the time. I was the youth director. We took them camping. That's how much I love teenagers. I hate camping. We took them camping, and we went to climb Mount Lassen the next day. We get up to, and I was determined, no stinking punk teenager is going to beat me to the top of this mountain. They may all get me, but I'm not going to be the last dude at the top of this mountain. I got to the top. I pushed it. I really pushed it. And I got up to the top of that mountain, ladies and gentlemen. I was huffing and puffing like a rhino. It was unbelievable. I was seeing patterns like I was having a flashback from the 60s. You know what I'm saying? I was huffing away and leaning against a rock up there. Air's a little thin at 2.5 miles up in the air. And I was huffing away, and guess what? Two couples in their 80s come strolling up there like nothing was going on. They weren't even breathing hard. And I said, how are you doing? They said, fine, how are you today? Oh, get away from me, man. Please, please. Now look here. People climb mountains. People overcome what are now considered insurmountable obstacles. Yes? Hey, look at me. We have conquered diseases that used to kill people by the millions. We've seen breaching of time and space. But no one's ever conquered death. Except one. I don't know if you get the picture now. Stay with me. How that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his rising from the dead, that he is risen, separates him from anyone and everyone else. Jesus conquered death. And he poked a hole in it big enough for you to go through it too if you know him as your Savior. Well, this is an amazing premise now. He is risen. Death is not the end of the trail. He is risen! Though it's not a stop sign now. Death's not a stop sign. It's not a closed door. It's just simply this. It's a moment where you pass from this life to the next. So there is life after death. So there is something on the other side of this next breath. It's there. You say, well, I'll take my chances. Now, can I just encourage you with a thought? I don't mean to insult you, but let me try. Here's the point. You're a fool. And I'll tell you why. Now, and I know that's insulting, but it's all right because you come here, we insult you too. Here's the thing. You're going to risk the eternity that you don't know for sure one way or the other. You're going to risk the forever on what you think. When God says, absent from the body, present with the Lord, you're going to risk a forever. You're going to take your chances, draw your last breath, and wake up and say, oops, and you can't do a thing about it. Think about that. That's Jesus rose from the dead. Here's the premise. There is life after death. And the only one who could conquer death was Jesus Christ. He conquered it. Yes, people had been raised from the dead before that. Jesus raised people from the dead in his ministry. The apostles raised people from the dead. I raise people from the dead every Sunday morning at 11:45 to 11:50. And they get up and go on to hometown buffet. We see a resurrection here every Sunday morning. Yeah, I know that, but nobody, but none of those people conquered death. Only Jesus did. You understand the difference? Only Jesus did. Only Jesus laid his body down dead and Jesus took it up again, the Bible says. That's the premise of a conquering Savior. No, it's climbing Mount Everest if you think that's a good idea. Okay, fine. You've all watched those videos of stupid young people trying to ride a bicycle off the back of a semi-truck in the freeway. They call it X Sports. It's X for because there's no way to spell stupid and put it all in there. Okay. Put on a squirrel suit, jump between a hole in a mountain somewhere at 2,000 miles an hour. What a daredevil. No, that's dumb. That's really dumb. 2 feet to the left and they would be talking about what you used to be and bury you in a shoebox. The truth of the matter is, okay, all that stuff. So, you know, we've climbed it all, we've jumped it all, we swim it all, we've done it all, we've conquered it all. Jesus conquered death. Just Jesus now. Just Jesus. So do you understand this morning why he is the only way of salvation? Because see, that God set him apart from anyone and everyone else. All of it. He stepped out of the religious category into the category of God the Son. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4 says that by the resurrection of the dead, he proved his eternal power in Godhead. That's not just someone, that's God the Son there. Only God can bring something from dead to life. Only God can do that. That's Jesus. He raised himself. You understand? It's the premise of the supremacy of Christ, the preeminence of Christ, that he's set apart from any and all others today. By the way, that's why a true religion always points you to Christ for salvation, not to themselves, not to their church, not to their role, not to their baptistry, not to their beliefs. They always point you to Christ because Jesus is the way of salvation. Now then, it's also a premise for those of us who know Christ as our Savior. I serve a living Savior. He's in the world today. I wonder sometimes how much Christian, how much we have seen Christians become practical atheists in their life. They live like Jesus is not really alive. Well, it was a long time ago. Doesn't make a difference. He's still alive. You ever ask one of your young grandchildren how old they think you are? The smart ones who want ice cream will tell you about 30 when you're 60. You take them right to dudes and get them an ice cream cone. Oh, yeah. The ones who are somewhat like their dad will say you're 114. Oh my. Interesting, isn't it? He is risen. Do you live your life like Jesus really is alive? Like he really, you know, he's in my heart. He lives here. I know it's a figurative speech, but Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Christ life, you know, like a Christian, one who's like Christ. Where our life doesn't even reflect Jesus the rest of the week. You know, we get a little Bible in our hand, walk in the door in a church on a Sunday morning, get up and go home, and that's our Christian life. You kidding me? He ever lives to make intercession for you. Why can't you ever live to please him with your life? He is a living Savior. There are times, and it's all too often, I'm afraid, when I do something I know that displeases him. And to me, it's not just, oh, I did something. I always think, dear Lord, I'm sorry. Because, see, I'm talking to someone who's alive. And he saw me. And I disappointed him and I broke his heart and I did something I shouldn't. I sinned. See, he is risen. It's not just for those who need to know a resurrected Savior. He is risen for those who need to live like there's a resurrected Savior. Like he really does see you in your life and what you do. That's not a bad thing. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You ever do something and you know no one appreciated it but God? Is that still okay with you? Let's stand our feet, please, this morning. He is risen. He is risen. Now we can get up this morning. We can leave, call church off, go home, hunt Easter eggs. That's fine. Have time with our families. Good. For some people, we call you Easter lilies. You bloom at Easter time, then you're gone. You get your one church service in for the year. We are here the other 51 weeks, just in case you wanted to know. But okay. He is risen. He is alive. And he is coming again. And he wants you to come to him and know him in salvation. And then he wants you, after salvation, without works, he wants you to come to him and live like you believe he is alive. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment. May I ask you a question this morning? I don't know what your situation is that brought you to church today, but I know one thing for certain. On this Easter Sunday morning, there's one great desire of the heart of God, and that is that you would know Christ and be sure of that.